Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. Things have gotten hot on Twitter today. I talked with Gad Saad, and I will be doing the summary of our conversation. Not very productive. Unfortunately, we have another case here of yet another Jew, number 687, who doesn't engage with what I say. Doesn't engage with my contributions to the world. He engages instead with smears and hit pieces. My judgment on Jews is still up in the air, but you know that we're gonna have to meet a few good ones before the karma can be recalibrated here. Before we get this story, oh my God, no, Dignif AI. Dignif AI was detected by our systems and has been locked for violating the Twitter rules. That really sucks, man. I hope he's going to be back. Privately produced, distributed, intimate media. So he took a picture. The person claimed that the picture was not a public picture. And he gets banned. That is very sad because I love the Dignif AI. Changes that they were making to the pictures. Stephen Robinson was sending me this guy who has a trick for free houses in Portland, Oregon. Well, yeah, in leftist places, if a house is abandoned, there are all sorts of hoops that you can go through to basically make yourself the legitimate occupant of the house. Without even paying for it. I think it's ridiculous. I'm not going to play the video. The guy is going into those Airbnb. And he's tricking the lock to unlock it. He's then taking the key to the house. He's then making a fake lease agreement. And he's then activating the electricity with this fake lease agreement. We should not let this happen in society because then ownership becomes a super risky thing and you end up having no one wanting to be owners unless they can occupy the house literally physically. this, my girlfriend, will like it. Hey, man, Jesus just gave us like one commandment, bro, which is to be vaguely nice to each other, man. As long as you're being vaguely nice by the cultural standards of the current time period we live in and completely ignoring the Bible, you're doing a hecking wholesome Christianity. The hipster Jesus, the hipster preacher. It is quite disappointing what's happening with Christianity. Christianity is not a protector anymore in the vast majority of cases against the toxicity of current culture. John Drake says, just own BTC and rent everything else. Yes. Well, I think that owning a house is a good idea. Personally, I like owning a house. A soccer player dead at 35 got hit by lightning. Look at it. It is the player right here. Right here. Wow, the lightning totally struck him. Boom. That is a lot of electrical energy to take in. And he died. People were asking if he was vaccinated. I think that in this case, I don't think it matters in this case. I think we can be confident it was the lightning here. This is while the cop imagined he was shot by someone in his petrol car. Start shooting the petrol car, but he was hallucinating. He wasn't getting shot. Fascinating video here. Let's have a look first, and then we're going to slow motion examine what's happening here.
Shots fired! Shots fired! Shots fired! I'm hit! What? I'm not! I'm in the car!
I was shot!
Through the car! Oh! I'm good. I feel weird, but I'm good. I'm good.
All right. So in the end, I don't think he hurt the guy in the car. I don't think that... And the police department found that he was objectively unreasonable, but I don't know that it, I don't know what it will lead to in his case. But here's the thing. Personally, I think we have to create a space for people who are doing a tough job to get it wrong sometime, and to get it wrong because of the sensory nature of, you know, making decisions on the spot, trying to process sensory information. And here's what actually happened. An acorn fell from a tree and fell onto the top of the police car and made a little tick. And this gave the impression to the guy that he was getting shot at by a gun with a silencer, because he had seen in the documentation of the person he was taking into custody that they may have silencer guns. And so he heard a little tick and he felt like, oh my God, I must have been shot. I want to show you the acorn because we can see it on video. I will try to capture it at the right moment. Oh, we saw it pass just right here. You're going to see it. It's right here, okay? You'll see a black acorn fall onto the car. There it is. The black acorn, fuck, is going to fall onto the car. And as it makes the little tuck, the noise, you see the police immediately reacting.
Shots fired! Shots fired! Shots fired! Shots fired!
All right. Thankfully, I think no one was hurt in too much of a major way. And so all is good in the end. If you would like to support the show, use the dollar button under the Odyssey chat. Odyssey super chats are my favorite way to receive support for the show. Alternatively, you can also use Entropy. The link to Entropy is in the description below. Who was he shooting at? He was shooting at the guy who was cuffed in his own police car. So thankfully, I think that police cars are relatively well bulletproof. So I don't think it did anything to the guy inside. But it could have been bad. It could have been bad. Even, in fact, the female police officer who was with this guy shot a little bit at the car too, because she sees her colleague saying, "I just got shot." There's no way for her to verify that this is not true. And so, in fact, the report ended up finding that he acted slightly unreasonably, but that she acted on a reasonable belief, because trusting another police apparently is judged as a good enough standard. You can't know if you weren't on the scene, you just arrive. Is it true or is it not true that he got shot? On top of it, the folder of the guy was indicating that he had silencer weapon. So it's like totally possible when you see your colleague saying, I got shot, that it is true. So Gad Saad, I've been critical of him for many years. And Let me start the clip. So Gad Saad, I've been critical of him for many years because he's presenting himself as some kind of a right-wing or anti-woke thinker. But he is offering really a clownish performance on the public space. He always escapes any true questioning of his thoughts through a kind of comedy routine where he says, oh, well, I'm joking, you know. And so he's always at the performance level trying to entertain by going at the lowest common denominator possible in terms of an anti-SJW critique, such as wearing purple wigs. And, you know, there's a problem in the current world with trans people wearing these wigs and claiming that they're something they're not. But there's also a problem when the intellectual critique cannot help but do the same. There's a problem when Gad Saad wears his purple wig. There's a problem when Steven Crowder feels that he has to dress as a woman to entertain. Because it's you getting into the exact same thing that we're trying to get rid of. That's messing up society. And you're kind of exposing yourself when you participate to this circus. Now, Gad Saad also has the problem that he writes books that suck. So that is a type of intellectual I take massive issue with because they pollute the signal that a book should contain an idea. And I've gone through the parasite mind. I've gone through the book. I've done a show about it. I've explained what I take issue with. It's a book that fakes a kind of approach toward evolutionary theory, but that never really does it. And not even at a superficial level. So it really just takes the marketing of evolutionary theory, but there is no thinking in there. I take issue because I write good books, and it takes me maybe, you know, you see with the moral signal, it might take me a whole decade to get the moral signal out. And that's because I'm in the market of good books, and authors like me suffer from the fact that people write these books as collector items for your favorite Twitter personalities that you buy cheap and that you end up not reading because it's a bunch of crap in there. Anyways, those are small issues that I've taken in the past with Gad Saad. But yesterday, there was an event on Twitter where Gad Saad asked for the censorship of someone and got it to happen. He said, shut it down. Elon Musk, this guy has discovered us. Shut it down. And the guy got shut down within 3 hours of that tweet. Now, that is censorship, and it's a big issue, much bigger than any issue I've taken with the low quality of Gad Saad's contribution up to now to the intellectual space. And again, it has all of the features of the poor Gad Saad participation to the public space, which is disguised as funny, disguised as jokes. I'm a Mossad agent. Oh, well, no, maybe it's just a joke between me and the interviewer. Who knows? Oh, well, I said shut it down. Well, it was a joke. Oh, well, it happened. Oh, always hiding, always like a coward, standing behind evil things, but doing it under the cover of a comedy that is not even funny. That is what Gad Saad is. He's a sad clown, a sad Gad. So yesterday, he got this account banned, which was a golden check mark. That was an account that was critical of the war in Israel because he said shut it down. And he tried again to do his little weaseling out of his responsibilities as an intellectual. He said, shut it down was in reference to the spy Zionist operation that the account in question had referenced. I'm playing along with the account's conspiratorial trope. But you know, I'm just a Jew, so who knows? So always the cover of humor. I was just playing along. And I was pointing out in my tweet today, I was just kidding along may not be the defense that Gad Saad seems to think it is. Indeed, is there any more potent demonstration of global Jewry's influence than the fact that even a joke at the expense of their ideological opponent led to their censorship? If you're at the point where your jokes are taken seriously by the censors and they actually lead to the censorship that you were in jest demanding in your joke, that's a problem too. It's a problem too, and Gad Saad was trying to argue, well, I didn't request it because it was within a joke. Well, you requested it within a joke, and it got taken seriously. As someone was pointing out, maybe the Jews should develop a safe word to signify when they actually want someone banned or when they're just joking about demanding that someone be banned. Now, there would be such an easy, honorable way to get out of this situation. But unfortunately, we never get that kind of honorable response from this side. Gad would simply have to write a tweet that says, hey, Elon, I was really joking. I am floored and I am super sad to hear that someone has been censored, maybe because of me. Maybe I was part of the causes that he was censored. I demand hereby publicly, I demand that this person be unbanned. But we never get this. We get them saying, it's a joke. It's a joke, but I'm going to live with the outcome of the joke having been taken seriously. And as such, Gad is not a true defender of free speech because he's always withdrawing cowardly in a space of joke where nothing matters, but somehow there are consequences to a space of joke in the world, but he doesn't look to change them. He doesn't work to right the wrongs of what he does. As such, I consider him a very dishonorable person and a person who lives in self-contradiction, which is the whole problem here with the current state of intellectual Jewry. It's that we have people who are currently engaged in a genocide and who are currently engaged in jokes that seek to shut down the people who want to reveal this genocide. And yet we have to deal with a constantly comedic approach in a very grave time where babies are getting blown in Gaza. And instead, you know, he's in the denial. But here's how dishonorable this denial is. He says, I did not ask Elon Musk to ban anyone, but keep spreading your conspiratorial nonsense. These people are something else. Truth is irrelevant to them. But you did ask in your joke, you said, shut it down. And someone did it. Who are you to affirm that the person who censored the account wasn't a Twitter employee who saw your shutting down and maybe didn't get the joke or maybe knew it was a joke, but said, hey, maybe it's a joke, but I'm still going to check. You have a causal relationship between your engagement with this account and this account getting banned, whether your intent was it or not. So the honorable thing to do wouldn't just be to say, oh yeah, I didn't ask explicitly, it was within a joke. The honorable thing to do would be to say, I demand that this account be restored. But you never get this. You always get the silent cooperation of Jewry as an institution without calling themselves out. They let some other person do the dirty work and then they come in, which is exactly what Gad Saad did with me today. So I started being critical of him in the reply. I said, you said shut it down, and it was shut down. One can have many interpretations of the chain of causality here, involving Elon or not, but the request is right there unquestionably, even if made in jest. and Gad Saad couldn't help but cite the lies of his tribe against me. Is this you? He asks in a passive-aggressive manner. Well, let's see if it's me. JF is a former neuroscience researcher. I did make research in neuroscience. I now make research in biology. An alt-right, better source needed. Yes, I have never endorsed the label alt-right. I don't care about it, but it's a label that other people have been putting on me, so that's irrelevant. Even Wikipedia recognizes that they don't have a good source for this. Political commentator. Yes, I'm this. Gary P. hosted the YouTube channel The Public Space before launching his current channel, JFG Tonight, where he calls for the creation of a white ethnostate. Well, I wouldn't say that that's what I do. I do have a preference for white nations. I do have a preference for white nations, and I want white people to be able to continue living. I would say that what I demand, unequivocally, what I demand for white people is something like maybe Israel, a state where they can exist and where they can be left alone and they can have control over their own fate. But I'm asking for one more thing that Israel doesn't have. I'm asking for this state to be truly independent, to be truly self-sustained, and not to live on the account of a greater nation or empire. That is, I am against the funding of Israel by America, and I would be against the funding of a white ethnostate by America too. So as someone was pointing out, you change the word white for Jewish here, and Gad Saad would invite me on his show. In fact, he might invite me for dinner. But white, that's not a word that he likes to see there. Promotes anti-Semitic messages. Well, here's the problem with the word anti-Semitic. It's a word that is designed to significantly enlarge and broaden the scope of a racial prejudice for a particular nation. And it's a word that is not given to any other race than the Jews. In other words, what if you are, for example, you have a political position against the genocide of the Gazans, of the Palestinians by Israel. You are against Israel. You are against what Israel is doing. You are anti what Israel is doing. Israel is the state of the Jews. You are anti what the state of the Jews is doing. From there, saying that you are anti-Semitic is zero step away semantically. So you have a problem here that this word anti-Semitic is actually used on the side of the Jews, and it's been a traditional word that they use within themselves when they talk about us, which really means an opponent that we perceive, someone that we perceive as an opponent to our political desires. Now, in regular talk, and when we talk about white people or black people or really any other person than Jews, we don't have this special word. We don't have anti-Semitic. We don't have anti-whiteism, anti-blackism. Because for someone who's not too narcissistic, one can easily see political opposition and call them what they are. Political opponents. If a black person tells me, Jeff, I really am against your political project of capitalism and I'm against this and that, I'm going to say, oh, you're my political opponent. Let's shake hand here and let's see what you have to say. I'd like to be challenged. But only when it comes down to the Jews and their perceived constant race toward existence and survival against the survival of others, only in that case do we call things anti-Semitic. And so to say that I've pushed anti-Semitic messages on my show is really using a loaded word. I have been standing on my show against the funding of Israel militarily. I've been standing against the genocide of the Palestinians that's currently happening. I've been standing against the unreasonable influence of Jewish intellectuals that is disproportionate into the fact-finding process of American society. I have been opposed to certain specific Jewish intellectuals for their beliefs, like Eric Weinstein, and his belief that we should lie to people about race because it's the only way the Jews can make it. I've been opposed to all of this. You want to call this anti-Semitic? The problem is you're deceiving yourself with a loaded word that is designed to cognitively recruit this feeling inside of you that my thoughts are irrational, that my political opposition is illegitimate. But it is not illegitimate. People can judge it. And that's why Gad right now, under a free Twitter, you have a ratio that is horrible. You have hundreds of replies under your tweets that are correcting you, that are attacking you. It's because there's something wrong in your thinking. And if one day you're opened intellectually enough for me to go explain it to you, how wrong you are, and try to fix some of your wrong ways, I'll be happy to do it as a fellow Canadian. And then advocates for the genetic superiority of white people. And here you have the problem of, is it written in the Steven Pinker Wikipedia page that he advocates for the superiority of the Jewish people? Is it written on Jordan Peterson's page that he advocates for the superiority of the Jewish people? Because all of these people have said the exact same thing about Jews that I've said about whites. Which is, oh yeah, we have these facts coming from scientific studies, and yeah, they have a higher IQ, and they have this, and they have that. If that's advocating for the genetic superiority of white people, then why isn't that Steven Pinker is labeled as advocating for the superiority of Jewish people? Because he said the same thing about the Jews. He said the Jews have higher IQ. It's been shown in studies. Why is it the case that it's always only white people who commit a great sin when they affirm facts of the world about themselves? It is because you are engaged, Gad Saad, and your fellow Jews, you are engaged in an enterprise of deception. You are engaged in holding a taboo onto white society that keeps it from realizing true facts of the world. You are, in other words, deceiving by imposing an arbitrary taboo on a set of facts that you consider are to your disadvantage and to the advantage of white people. It is particularly grave that you are engaged in this deceptive quest when you, Gad Saad, are particularly warm to the idea of making disparaging comments on Muslims. So you have it, you have this bigotry in you. You little dirty freak. You are a bigot. You're just trying to get white society to be bigoted about those people you take issue with, and not the people that it is relevant for white people to care about. Because the bigotry that you have against Arabic people, when you we know what you mean, Gad, when you tweet about and you say the good, how does he call them? The good people, the peace people. We know what it means. You are pointing to them as being exactly the contrary of what you're stating. You are trying to put it undercover so that it passes Twitter censorship. But you believe that Arabic people are particularly aggressive and threatening to your existence. And you've been injected with this bigotry in your youth, through your training, through your experience. And now you take issue that someone has in their Wikipedia article an advocating of the kind that you are doing yourself. An advocating for a genetic difference between one people and another. I think that if we were to change just the word white here and a couple of other words for changing to a Jewish situation, I think that me and Gad would be having a barbecue right now. And finally, the Anti-Defamation League list, blah, blah, blah. I don't care about what the Anti-Defamation League says about people. He continued his passive-aggressive commentary on my tweet by saying, a global jury. And this is the tweet on which he got the most ratio. He got, there's hundreds of people in the tweet saying, hey, that's a word you guys use. There's about to be a conference, actually, where Barry Weiss is about to give an address in, I think it's in New York. The state of world jury address. So it's like, you guys are talking about an organization that you're part of. You are acting in every way like you're an institution and like you are having each other's back. And yet when someone like me points it out and says, hey, you guys are kind of a network. You know, after the fifth re-interview of the fifth same person across the years, it's about time that we see a nuclei here, and people are starting to see it. People are just starting to notice, and Gad takes issue with it. So again, a passive-aggressive, comedic, a global jury. It's like Germany in 1940. Global jury is the term that is used by some of you, like Barry Weiss, and even if she wasn't using it. It's a term that describes a network of people who feel some attachment to their ethnic identity, which ties them together. And the facts are absolutely clear that this exists, that this is going on. Just see the attitude over the Israeli genocide right now happening to Gaza and see the unanimous voices of the Jewish community, including you, Gad, who brings up his anti-Muslim bigotry to justify the killings of innocents, civilians, and babies. And there is no way that this doesn't qualify as a network of ethnic solidarity. I was commenting on some people's comment. I said, intellectual frauds like Gad Sahad like to request that their interlocutor be identified publicly. That way they can quote the false smears circulating in the tribe's press to justify their lack of intellectual engagement. It's a scam. They really have nothing to say. Like about a week ago, Gad Sahad was asking for, all of these anonymous troll demons on Twitter. That sucks. If you're a real person, just come with your real name and argue with me. Now, of course, someone like me comes with his real name, and Gad Sahad just Googles, let's see what my tribe has written about this guy. And you get the same lies repeated again and again, taken out of context, the same double standard, the mistreatment, which, Gad, I'm telling you, this way of mistreating intellectuals that you don't feel a ethnic solidarity with is going to be your downfall. It's going to be your downfall. I'm not going to be the one causing your downfall, but intergenerationally, an awakening has begun in the new generation, and I've been part of the seed of this intellectual awakening, that no more should we trust a biased group to be the sole provider of the fact-finding operations of Western civilization. And I don't think it's in your benefit to continue engaging in a dishonest way that way, because people are seeing it. That's why you're getting flooded on your Twitter account. People are starting to be annoyed. Engage like an honest intellectual. Engage honorably. Stop making the clown. And have a discussion with me if you'd like. I'll explain it to you to your face if you'd like. Like I was raising the irony of how ironic is it that Gad Saad is quoting a Wikipedia claim that I'm arguing for cultural supremacy when he does it himself. Oh, here's Gad Saad arguing for civilizational superiority. When do we see those quotes in his Wikipedia bio? Is that how it works? Gad Saad was saying in 2020, it's not white culture, imbecile. It's called Western culture. And yes, all cultures are not equal. Cultures that do not systematically hate Jews, women, dogs, women's clitorises, and LGBTQ folks are superior to those that do. Learn some history, schmuck. So here you have it in full, the essence of Jewish supremacy. This idea that we are the only political angle that can legitimately be supremacist. That, oh yeah, it's okay to be supremacist as long as you're supremacist exactly for this line of belief. Which, by the way, this was in 2020, Gad Saad standing for LGBTQ folks. He wasn't mocking them that much back then. He's a little more on their back since the trans stuff came out. But he was very much on their side. So there you go. It is cultural supremacy that motivates the genocide that currently is happening. The true belief of Jews in Israel right now and Jews that are supporting this genocide right now across the world, global Jewry. Their true belief is that the world will be better if this surface of the planet is occupied by Jewish beliefs rather than what they think is backward Muslim beliefs. That's it. And with the backward Muslim beliefs, they intend to throw the baby with the bathwater here and kill the backward Arabs who are holding these beliefs. That is the belief of a Gad Saad. That is why they don't have issue when we try to guilt them with, hey, like, you're killing babies. It's like, no, they're future terrorist babies. They are babies that, if you can replace these babies with Jewish babies, the world will be more Jewish. The world will be more like us. But that Gad, that is ethnic cleansing. That is what's happening right now. I don't have other things to say than, yeah, again and again, there is a failure of honest engagement. And these double standards are taken from poorly written Wikipedia articles in which the very article, it says, citation needed, and oh, can we get a better source on this? You can see that this whole circle of, oh yeah, we're gonna write something about him, and oh yeah, I'm gonna get something published in the mainstream media so that it can be quoted on Wikipedia and then it can be quoted by Gad. Doesn't make it true, motherfuckers. We don't care. A whole generation of intellectual is rising right now for whom it's a game. to be mocked by your terrible press. Your terrible press that doesn't care about truth, that cares only about ethnic interest, and we're done caring about it. So have fun if you want, continuing to display your dishonesty, but it's not speaking good for you. Anyways, Gad, if you'd like to talk, we can talk at some point. Bye-bye. Hell is seeing the person you could have been. See, that's the kind of great work that Dignify AI is doing. Look at this woman. I mean, imagine being that woman and you see yourself saying fuck you to the camera. And imagine you see the life that you could have had at 27 years old with a child. It must be shocking for these women who get caught by the Dignify AI. Wow. You can see the and you know the AI made the child look a little bit like her. I mean, it feels real. It feels like it could have been really. Kanye West has overtaken Taylor Swift as the top artist globally on Spotify. Kanye West, number one. Taylor Swift, her whole football arc is over now. And Kanye is taking the lead. Adolf Hitler is back from the dead as twisted nerds make AI version of Nazi leaders. The Nazi leader. So that's a Daily Star article about Andrew Torba. That is the most hilarious thing. They brought back Adolf Hitler. You can have a straight conversation with him. Isn't that fascinating? The best photos of Bitcoin history. The Bitcoin P2P e-cash paper. The Genesis block with the writing inside the blockchain. The Times, January 2009, Chancellor on brink of second bailout for banks. So basically written at the root of the blockchain is a reference to this cover page. Israel prepares to send tanks and troops in Gaza. Isn't that fascinating? That the attention was brought by the Bitcoin founder to, you know, Satoshi Nakamoto. To this part of the cover page. But isn't it fascinating that on this cover page also is basically a prediction of the future invasion of Gaza? That was in 2009, so 15 years ago. 15 years ago, Israel prepares to send tanks and troops into Gaza. It's interesting to consider the possibility that Satoshi Nakamoto had some political vision of what Bitcoin would lead to, perhaps a fairer world, perhaps a world without war, perhaps a world where the big tool of war ultimately is USD. USD is the ability to constantly print money to take the US government out of debt. Is what messes the system in the favor of the elites. It's what allows them to make war. And it's very possible that one of the outcomes of Bitcoin is that it's not possible anymore for the US to raise infinite amounts of money through printing. White House chaos. Susan Rice slammed bitch-ass Becerra over border. Biden exploded with rage. Yeah, on the question of the border, it's like I'm happy that people are caring about it, and Elon Musk is tweeting about it. That's great, but you know, it's been going on for a while. It's been going on for a while, and here you see, and it's kind of you're waking up to this relatively late, bro. America's demographic has already been changed, probably to a certain extent, irreversibly. it's going to be very hard for to keep a white majority in America. The Latino population has massively increased to the point of almost guaranteeing Democrat victories forever. And here you have Elon Musk saying, Mayorkas is deliberately breaking the law and ushering in vast numbers of illegals while claiming to do the opposite. He needs to go. Well, yeah, but we knew this. That's why we voted for Trump. Why wasn't there more alarm at this at the moment of voting for Biden? We knew what we were getting into. And Keith Woods is doing an amazing work by constantly being the kind of little angel on the shoulder of Elon Musk, where he says, Mayorkas was on the board of directors of the Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society, an open borders charity which helps migrants in Central America reach the U.S. border. Mayorkas government gives Hayes over $100 million a year of taxpayer money to fund the invasion. So thankfully, I'm confident that Elon sees some of these Keith Woods reply, and certainly his users and the fans of Elon, they get increasingly exposed to understanding what's going on, because if you listen to the Brett Weinstein of this world, there's currently a Chinese invasion. He found one camp where there seemed to be a lot of Chinese in that camp in South America, and they seem to be headed toward the U.S. It's unbelievable. If you listen to Brett Weinstein, you are misinformed. But if you watch the Elon Musk Twitter account and you look at the replies from Keith Woods, you get pretty good information about what's going on. It's an intentional policy thing. So what you have to do is vote for the alternative, vote for Trump. What do we have before we close the show? Oh, a happy road rage incident that ends up surprisingly well. Let's listen to this before we close.
The road, aren't you?
Get out of the truck! Get out of the truck, little lady!
No, I'm good.
See, because you know you lose.
How do I lose?
Because I will beat your fucking dick into the ground all day long.
That's kind of gay, isn't it?
I will beat your dick... Dude,
hop on the road, aren't you?
I will beak your dick. Mayorkas impeached, says Stephen Robinson, breaking. House Republicans impeach Alexandria Mayorkas in historic vote. Oh, well, that is interesting. House Republicans have just impeached Alejandro Mayorkas in a historic vote. The party suffered a surprising defeat when they initially tried last week. The Republican-led House on Tuesday night impeached Homeland Security Secretary over what they say is his failure to enforce immigration law at the southern border. Well, that's good, but you're probably going to... His presence there was not an accident. You're probably going to get the same thing from the Democrats, so really we need to replace the team that's in charge. I have some super chats to address. Open Borders for Israel says, ignore Gad Saad. He's just a typical member of the tribe. Ethnostates for me, but not for D. Lauren Chen was sharing a tweet. Gad Saad now, Gad Saad before. I only read the first few tweets in the thread, but thought it worth to share. And it was saying, I'm going to post then delete this thread. I'm not here for long, so I have the last things to say. And one of them is this. I am genuinely and increasingly of the view that Jews are just simply better people than almost all other cultures. Up, up, up. We have a claim of supremacy here. We have a claim of supremacy, Gad. So yes, Jews are better than us. Imagine if humanity stopped thinking of itself as races or nations or felties or ideologies. Imagine if we just thought of ourselves as one big family, and that is the lesson of our great Jewish family brethren. We must protect them at all costs. So basically, the vision of the Jew for an international, whatever, an international liberal racial melting pot is superior. Your multi-race ensemble is superior to my mono-race preference. Yes, that's the definition of Jewish supremacy. Frank Carr has sent 3 super chats on entropy. Thank you so much for the generous support. He says, the Jewish actions in Gaza were a foreseeable consequence of Hamas' attack. The genocide was something they wanted, part of Hamas' plan, because they hoped it would cost Israel in the long run. Who will rid me of this troublesome priest? Henry II, about Thomas Becket before his murder. Plenty of examples of jokes being taken seriously, but the jokers acted with regret afterwards. One last point. I bet you could clip Gad Saad's Wikipedia and do the exact same thing to him. Using Wikipedia that way is a low tactic, given how biased it is, a fact that he must know. Yeah, exactly. So no one falls for it anymore. I mean, I didn't even get a wave of hate from this tweet. I'm getting a bunch of Israeli people who are like, oh, you're anti-Semitic, and they have the Israel flag. Or, oh, where's your wife? But I didn't get a serious wave of challenges or intellectually valuable argument. All I get is, okay, you guys are the zombies that will just follow Wikipedia. But above this, there's nothing. Because people know about Wikipedia at this point, and people know about the whole machine. That is it for tonight, boys. Thank you so much for the generous support with the Super Chat. If you'd like to support the show on a monthly basis, on your earlier comment, Frank Carr, on the question of, was the Hamas attack intending the response of Israel? I hate to talk about this, because it's one of those things that, suppose it's true. I'm not even saying it's not true, but suppose it's true. Hamas did this October 7th attack with the intent of creating a response from Israel. What does it change? It changes nothing. A responsible nation should be held to the standard of not striking civilians, whether they have been provoked to strike civilians or not. So the whole idea is Hamas playing 6D chess with Israel. It's an unproductive direction of thinking. That's why you keep hearing Brett Weinstein bring this up. No one gives a shit. Doesn't matter what Hamas wants. Hamas is not even a defined thing. It's a nebulous. Sometimes when an Israeli politician talks about Hamas, he's really talking about a bunch of Palestinian babies. Thank you.